This morning, our scripture for preaching comes from Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. This morning, I want to share from the thought what God says about citizenship. What God says about citizenship. In 1949, when George Orwell wrote the book entitled 1984, it was considered fiction. By the 1980s, many found it prophetically disturbing. It portrayed a world dominated by three giant powers, and the prevalent theme was Big Brother is watching you. Orwell wrote of a computerized age of technological genius when the minds of men were controlled by the state. Millions of copies of the book 1984 have been sold. Classrooms have made it part of their course of study, and its movie was a box office hit. But here's what I find most intriguing. In 1986, Reverend G. Curtis Jones wrote a commentary on Orwell's book in his book of illustrations. He wrote, instead of powerful persons manipulating events and controlling citizens, and they will, there's a more sophisticated, silent method associated with high tech and the rise of the computer. A non-person society is expanding at a frightening pace. Big Brother and the development of the computer has enormous power to obliterate, alter, and control history. There is a new vocabulary designed to distort, if not destroy, truth. Like Orwell, Reverend Jones was prophetic. For here we are in 2021, confronted by the very monster of Orwell's literary prophecy. It is called the internet. The internet is the new vocabulary, and in these recent years, we have seen how it can destroy, if not distort, truth. Still, Orwell and Jones were wrong in one respect. It is men and not machines that are to blame for the distortion of the truth. The internet is just the medium, not the means. It is men who use the internet to spread lies. During the election season, and even now, social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook have had to rewrite their policies to prevent people spreading lies and misinformation. Misinformation about the election that was fostered by the former president and his followers. Misinformation that has led to millions of people not getting vaccinated. One lady told me this week that she had to drag her daughter to get vaccinated, and her reason for not was the misinformation she had consumed on the internet. My brothers and sisters, there are responsibilities that come with citizenship. You will find them outlined in our Constitution, but you also find them in the Word of God. Here's what God says or has to say about citizenship. Listen again to Psalm 15 from the Living Bible Translation. Lord, who may go and find refuge and shelter in your tabernacle up on your holy hill? Anyone who leads a blameless life and is truly sincere, anyone who refuses to slander others, does not listen to gossip, neither harms his neighbor, speaks out against sin, criticizes those committing it, commends the faithful followers of the Lord, keeps a promise even if it ruins him, does not crush his debtors with high interest rates, and refuses to testify against the innocent despite the bribes offered him. Such a man shall stand firm forever. The psalmist, of course, is referring to the citizens of God's kingdom. But thankfully, there are many similarities between fellowship with God and fellowship with man. The rules for living a blameless and sincere life differ little. There is a consistency in the cost of civil citizenship. If a citizen is to live a blameless and sincere life, he must live by three sound principles. The first that comes out of our text is God says a good citizen must speak the truth. The psalmist writes, refuse to slander others, do not listen to gossip, and never harm your neighbor. In other words, spread only truth. So what is truth? There's only one definition. It is that which is based on fact or reality. Let us pause right there. There has been an increasing melee, a confused struggle between truth and fiction in this 21st century. We are pummeled with opinions, facts, photographic records, and especially creative interpretation of the facts. We have a duty as citizens to wade through the waterfall of information and try to make sense of it all. In other words, civilized citizens have homework. It is a simple command. Engage your brain. If we do not, we become nothing more than the slanderers and gossips as we pass along everything we see and hear. Wisdom should tell us that some things we hear are fake news. Understand, seeing is not always believing, especially in this area of, in this era of Photoshop, PicMonkey, and GIMP, programs that allow you to doctor a photo. Truth is never left or right. It is always somewhere in between the pages of the Bible. That is why the wise psalmist prayed to the Lord in Psalm 25, lead me in thy truth and teach me. The fact is that real truth is only revealed to man when he learns to submit to the Lord, because we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We can be fooled by false truths advertised by neon lights. We can be fooled by false truths promoted on television. We can be fooled by false truths encouraged by shady professionals. We can be fooled by false truths featured in magazines. We can be fooled by false truths practiced in broad daylight. We can even be fooled by false truths that are subliminally planted by catchy music and creative Facebook messages. And the opposite is also true. We can ignore truth even when the Lord reveals it. We can ignore truth when it makes us uncomfortable. We can ignore truth when it does not fit our lifestyle. We can ignore truth when it does not give us the outcome we desire. Facts and reality have to be word tested. In other words, tested by the word of God. As Christians, we should always only allow Christ's spirit within us to control what we receive and believe. Only then can we radiate the presence of God, shine with the righteousness of God, glow with the glory of God, reflect the image of God, and illuminate the will of God. Understand, my brothers and sisters, in order to be a good citizen, we must speak the truth. But then God says a good citizen must despise sin. It's in the text. The psalmist writes, speak out against sin, criticize those committing it, and commend the faithful followers of the Lord. Let us be real for a moment. This is tough for most of us. We often find it hard to condemn sin because we are participating in it. Our attitude towards sin is reflected in how quick we are to overlook it in ourselves as well as in others. Rather than root it out, we sugarcoat sin so it is easier to swallow. We steal and we call it petty theft. We tell lies and call them little white lies. Anything to soften the reality of our sin. But I stop by to remind all of us, from the pulpit to the door, sin is ungodly. The sin that defiles us is a disgrace to God because it disrespects God. Anything that corrupts man dishonors God. The reason we find it so hard to speak out against sin is that we too have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But there is a remedy for our hesitation to condemn sin. It is called repentance. Repentance is not something you do once and then forget about it. A good citizen of the kingdom of God has what's called a repentant spirit. That spirit of repentance is ever present in the person who is wholly committed to the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge and says, you should have done that. That self same spirit causes you to immediately repent of your wrongdoing. A person with a repentant spirit can condemn sin because with the same breath, he can offer the gift of forgiveness, the same forgiveness he so richly receives. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Not you, us. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin will keep you from being a good citizen of the kingdom of God. Paul says that you should not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let it take control. Condemn it daily, both in yourselves and in others. Now is always a good time to clean house. It is time to repent of anything God despises, anything he abhors, anything he detests, anything he opposes, and anything he condemns. Like greedy hearts, filthy minds, vile temptations, jealous eyes, vicious tongues, deceitful manipulation, and anything that blemishes the beauty of Christ in you. Remember, a good citizen must speak truth. A good citizen must despise sin. And then finally, my brothers and sisters, God says a good citizen must live honorably. It's in the text. Here's how the psalmist describes a person of honor. Keep a promise, even if it ruins you. Do not crush your debtors with high interest rates and refuse to testify against the innocent, even if you are offered a bribe to do it. There's a lot of meat packed into those words. Let us start with the command to keep your promises. That bill you decided not to pay, that was the breach of a promise. The meeting you skipped for no good reason, that was the breach of a promise. That infidelity you committed, that was the breach of a promise. A promise is a commitment. When you fulfill your commitment, you establish trust. And God takes promises seriously. and you should too. He keeps his promises. You should too. Can God trust you? Can God trust me to keep our promises? Next, the psalmist warns of being greedy. He warns not to charge high interest rates. Now, before you remind me that you are not a bank and you do not lend money, allow me to unwrap this command a bit. God is warning us against treating someone unfairly. Debts are not always in the form of currency. Sometimes debts are intangible. For instance, if you give a friend $500 when he is in need and he repays you, do not hold your kind gesture over his head forever to manipulate your friendship. That is charging high interest to a debtor. Once a debt is repaid, let it go. Of course, there are tangible debts that we can also apply to this command if only the guilty would repent. For instance, there is the high interest charged by credit cards. Interest so high, it once was considered loan sharking. As good citizens, we are charged to be fair in our dealings with our fellow man and never take advantage of another person's need. Finally, there is the command not to take a bribe to testify against the innocent. Bribery is a serious matter, and certainly bribery in matters of the court is immoral. But the whole earth is God's courtroom. And like debts, bribery comes in many forms. Taking a bribe can be as simple as slandering your coworker in order to increase your chances for a promotion. A bribe is nothing more than underhandedness. It is a sneaky way to get what you want. But look out, because God says you will get what you deserve. In other words, you reap what you sow. As Christians, we are called to live life honorably, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. An honorable life is a life well lived. A faith well lived is a faith that is practical in its application. Are you a good citizen? Do you keep your promise? Do you shun sin? Do you live honorably? The reward is great for those who do. Remember what the Hebrew writer says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As our world becomes more and more complex with Orwellian evolutions that entice us to speak the new language of the 21st century, there is one language that will never change. It is the language of God. God speaks and his grace is sufficient. God speaks and his mercy is abundant. God speaks and his word is accurate. God speaks and his presence is assuring. God speaks and his power is astounding. Live by the language of God. It is the price of citizenship in the kingdom of God. And if you believe the word of God, if you obey the commands of God, if you stand on the promises of God, if you rely on the mercies of God, if you trust in the wisdom of God, and if you accept the will of God, you will enjoy the fellowship of God. It is the price you pay for citizenship. And that's what God says this morning about citizenship. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Maybe there's someone this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to extend the invitation to you to accept Christ into your life through the power of prayer. I just simply ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner, and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time and you believe this prayer by faith, you are saved. If you have any questions or any desire to talk more about this decision, feel free to contact myself or any of our deacons, as well as any of our members, and we will help you on this new path.